Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to 3HL right here on 104.5 The Zone. We got a little twist today because the mayor is going to go see his son compete, which is great. That's what I'm talking about, Mayor. Go get my boy C-Dog all the motivation and momentum he needs to go get that game won so we can go on to the championship. Good luck to CPA. Let's get that out the way, first and foremost. Next, Don Davenport is in Pittsburgh, PA, doing the Pittsburgh and Virginia game, so she's gone. But, oh, we got a special guest today, baby. We got a special guest today. My man, the Vandy legend, SEC legend, Nashville legend, just throw legend on anything, man. Motivational speaker, everything above, man. My guy, Drew Maddox, is in the building. Drew, how you doing, brother?
Man, can you just come with me all day long, every day, any building I go into, you just make the announcement that I'm present, I'm in the building, I'm ready to go.
That's how we'll get it
rolling. I'm going to let you know, he's never talked so well about Vandy.
That's right.
But guess what? I always say, every time I talk about it, like, man, y'all know I got some guys over there. Some of them are like my guys. But let me tell you this, Hunk. Let's bring Drew in the right way, man, because it's only one way to do this, man. Carl ain't got no roof. Carl ain't got no roof. Drew, it's going to be like this the entire show.
I love it.
It's Trash Talk Friday. Trash Talk Friday. We also got Peter Burns joining us. We got Josh Ward. We got Jason Swain. And we got Red B stopping in to talk of Titans with us. But that's the way we got to bring you in, Drew.
Man.
You know what I'm saying?
That's big time.
It's only right.
Man, it is a privilege to get to be sitting to your left today, Slay. Man, it is nothing but all love, man. I'm watching you walk into your gifting and your passion. Appreciate on behalf of all of us, Nashville, huge sports people. Yeah. You're a blessing, brother. And I'm telling you straight up, real talk, it is a blessing to hear you do what you do every day, man. And it's awesome to hear it.
That's real, man. I appreciate that. Y'all know y'all can join along, watch us on Zone TV. You can get us on Twitter. You can get us on Facebook. You can get us on YouTube. And you can get us on Twitch.
Twitch, please.
Yes, indeed. So log on. Leave some comments. Talk to us. Ride with us. Trash Talk Friday. You know you can call in 615-737-1045. 615-737-1045. I want to hear everything. Drew wants to hear everything. You got Vandy and Tennessee in the same building? Come on, people. I mean, like, what are we supposed to do? What are we supposed to do? Drew, you stepped away from the game, though.
Yep.
What are you doing now?
Yeah, so people have been asking. In fact, last night, how about this, Lee? You'll love this.
Okay.
CPA plays their first game of the season. I walk into the gym to watch my senior daughter play.
Right.
And the referees, and you would know all three of them, they said, wait a minute, why are you not coaching?
What are you doing?
What are you doing in a baseball cap and jeans on?
Right.
So even the officials last night didn't even know. But, 3 months ago, I stepped away from coaching. I joined a company, the Dufresne Spencer Group, holding company, largest licensee of Ashley Home Furniture Stores. Incredible blessing. I'm executive vice president of people development. So basically what I get to do every day is take our lessons from the locker room and we're scaling it across to all of our teammates across the country. It is a blessing. You can do big commerce. You can do big things in the business world, but you can also go after the hearts of people and bless people and encourage them and to utilize the experience far beyond just the transaction of doing business.
Yeah.
We can actually love each other. We can actually bless each other.
Right.
We can serve each other.
Yes.
And it's a novel thought that the way that we treat each other with kindness, man, it will splash into the way that we serve our communities, our guests that come through the doors. So that's what I get to do every day.
Yes.
It is a fairy tale. I'm not even kidding of what I get to do every day.
I love that, man. And to your point, Drew, like I just had my OGs, like I listened to my veterans, man. So one of my veterans just pulled me to the side and I posted something on Twitter about a guy cutting me off and throwing his middle finger up. But I want to say, so I took it down. Mickey told me to take it down. So I follow my OGs, Mickey, my rep. I took it down.
That's wisdom.
But, yeah, wisdom. You know what I mean? And then I'm going to admit, like, I'm not going to be a fool and just keep walking down the street if y'all say, hey, man, get out of the middle of the street.
Right.
Car's coming. So I get out the middle of the street. But let me say, man, be kind to people.
No
so,
doubt.
Drew, you saying that, man, you got to have – open up your heart to people, man. Like, don't be a fool. You know, be guarded. But at the same time, you don't know what people are going through, man. So when you see people and you're having road rage and things of that nature, man, just take a deep breath, man. Believe me.
That's right.
It could be worse. You know what I'm saying? And you don't know what that person is going through. They didn't know what I was going through. My house could have burned down, could have lost my job, lost my parents. Like, you never know, man. So – just think outside the box as far as that goes, man, and be kind to people. And I promise you, we gonna be in a better place, and you personally will be in a better place, and it's gonna be it's reciprocated.
You know what I'm saying? Well, we call it the boomerang blessing.
There you go.
So the way that you love others, the way that you think about others, the way you seek to elevate others, you will be blown away at the boomerang blessing of how it comes back and actually fills your life up.
Yeah.
You know, and we've learned coming off of COVID, mental, emotional health and well-being is really at an all-time high right now. People are really struggling. A.J. Brown yesterday at his press conference opens up with transparency and is honest. Like, look, this is real talk. Like, we struggle, anxiety, depression, loneliness.
Right.
You know, and so back to your point, Slate, you don't know what people are walking through.
Yep.
So we need to be people of empathy. We need to make sure we understand what somebody else is going through. Put yourself in somebody else's shoe before you're so quick to throw your middle finger up or even say something that is out of bounds. Let's treat people. Let's let Nashville be the most kind community on the planet.
Exactly.
Why can't we do that?
Exactly.
We can do that.
I totally agree with you, Drew, man. And listen, if you're listening and you hear that voice, man, that's Drew Maddux. We got the legend in the building today. Hey, man, I'm ecstatic to be, you know, just piling it. And, you know, I stopped at the rest stop and I saw Drew. He had his bags with him. I'm like, Drew, where you going? And Drew was like, man, I'm going wherever you're going. So I said, get in the car. Lock the door, baby. Let's roll. So that's where we are, man. People, don't forget, coming up later, the Parslay will be added probably about 5:45. You want to tune into that so you don't have to go back and watch it. But if you do, you can go back and watch it on the podcast, or you can back rewind YouTube and watch it on there. But first and foremost, Hunk, you want to hit this injury report? Because the Titans, people, going into this weekend, I was saying, this is a weekend that the Titans should really handle business. And if you want to make a statement, I think the line was maybe 10.5. But this was before all these players were out. You know,
that's right. So you didn't place your bets too early.
Well, I think I failed on that one. Yep, I failed on that one yesterday, trying to get ahead of the curve and now behind the curve.
Line just moved to half a point.
And then the crazy thing is, Drew, I gave up points. Like, man, I know they're going to handle them. And here we go. So, Hunk, you want to hit the injury report for him?
I got it. I got it. Because here we go. Okay, I'm just going to run down the outs.
Take your time.
Nate Davis.
Oh.
Bud Dupree.
Oh.
David Long.
Mm.
Jeremy McNichols.
Come on.
Rashawn Evans.
Slow down.
Greg Maven.
Slow down.
Jeffrey Swaim. Jack Rabbit is questionable.
He might as well
also
take it too.
if you were wondering at all, Deshaun Watson is also ruled out. I just want to let you know.
A lot of people out. One of them.
You know, he's out for the Texans. Also out for the Texans is Hardy Nickerson, which is their linebacker. But, look, you're talking about Vrabel dropping the mic at the end of his press conference. Mm-hmm. Like, he dropped the names at the end of how many players are going to be missing. That's on. It's also, obviously, Derrick Henry. Julio Jones is still on IR. You got a lot of missing players.
That's tough.
And I was talking to Rhett earlier. He said it most likely tomorrow, maybe even Sunday morning, is when we'll find out what all players from the practice squad and that the Titans have signed to replace all these injuries.
That's going to be tough, man. So, Drew, we see where the Titans are. Like, I went on a rant about 2 weeks ago when Derrick Henry went out, and I was talking about, like, the mind of an athlete. If you've never played the game or you never – not even just the game, but never been in a competition with anyone at work – and just knowing what it's like to get up and continue to fight. Like, I went on a rant and saying that, like, the season isn't over.
Yep.
So the Titans go on this 6-game winning streak, and they are in a perfect position and got enough ground and enough space between them and the others to where this game comes along, and you have this luxury be able to sit guys out. But do you take this for granted? How do you look at this coming from a coach's perspective for the Titans?
Yeah, I look at it this way, and you know I'm always going to be on the side of positivity,
Without question.
So we're always going to spin it.
Right, we have to.
In the direction of making sure that our mindset is set on all things positive. So I think it starts here. Here's the amazing thing to me. I traveled with the team to Indianapolis the day Derrick Henry got hurt.
Oh, wow, okay.
And I was in the building that day. And
I know
you're in my mind now.
It's like
a dream, and that's in my head
on the,
now.
On the OTP that with Coach Mack and Titans Amy, even when Coach Mack said in the building, he emphasized it just a little bit more.
I love
today
it.
On the OTP that dropped.
I love it.
But I will say, us as Titan fans need to appreciate this franchise, this this team and all of the culture that has been built through Mike Vrabel, but even goes a step up. I was telling you even before we came in here, it starts with the ownership group, Burt Nyhill. They just have an air of perseverance, of resiliency, of being able to step up and face adversity and saying whatever's in front of us, we do not care. We don't care who's in powder blue today. It's going to be sufficient. And that's just the mindset that they have. And it's why us as fans should continue to fall in love with this team, because it's quite frankly amazing what they're doing in spite of all of the injuries that they've had to endure.
That's factual, man. Listen, people, you heard it right here. The injury report is long, but the next man up is real. And they've been dealing with it all season. I don't see why anything should stop now. Well, coming back, we will have Peter Burns joining us. We're going to slide down the SEC standings and see exactly what's going on this Saturday and what could change. Who will be bowl eligible coming out of this weekend? Will it be the Vols? Will it be South Carolina? It's a wonder. We got Vandy in the house. Will it be Vandy? Clark Lee, I love you, but we'll be right back with that one. All right, stay right here, man. Welcome back, people. We are back in the building. 3HL is off and rolling. Yes, I am joined today by my man, legend. Nashville legend, SEC legend. Yeah, it's all the same right now. We put it all in one boat. Drew Maddox is joining us today. Because the mayor's gone. Don Davenport is out. They're on assignment. So, hey, who else better to rock the boat and lead the bunk and make Hunk nervous? There's only one.
Normally, when you're in that seat, you're way easier to control than when you're in the seat.
I get over there. It's
like you got to behave a little bit more.
I got to keep it on the tracks over here.
It's a little bit calmer.
We got Peter Burns about to join us, though, with the SEC Network. He breaks down the weekend's games presented by Blue Delta Blue Jeans. Peter, listen, I'm in a different seat this time, so I can't really just go in and
so he's already laughing.
He's already laughing. So you get the tame sleigh today, Peter. What you going to do? But we are joined by Drew Maddox. So
This is great, because you know now you have to understand about how hard it is, Slay, that Brent and you know Don, everybody tries to keep this thing on track when you just keep derailing it. I hope Maddox is just going crazy, right? Like I hope you are just completely derailing the train at every stop just to see the look on Slay's face during this segment.
Hey Peter, I told him, man, when I was driving the car, you know, and I pulled over to the rest area, and I saw Drew at the rest area. He had his bags. I asked him where he was going, and he said he's going with me. So I said, get in the car. And then, hey, I told him, lock the door, baby, because you don't know what's going to happen. We ain't got no destination. We just rolling as long as you're cool. You know what I'm saying? So that's where we are today, man. SEC is going down. Let's jump straight into it. We got two teams, Peter, that can become bowl eligible. At the beginning of the season, nobody expected this. So what do we look forward to going into this weekend with Tennessee and South Carolina?
Yeah, I mean, I think those are kind of, you know, such marquee games. I mean, let's start with the Auburn-South Carolina one. The fact that, you know, at some point we could look at this and go, wow, Shane Beamer had as good of a first year as Brian Harsin. I don't think we would have thought that, you know, 3 weeks ago. And it was disappointing for Beamer because I thought they were going to win the game up in against Missouri last week. You know, they had an opportunity to win that game and they struck out a little bit. But now I find this really intriguing, guys, and for no other reason, like, what does the offense look like right now for Mike Bobo's, you know, Auburn Tigers, right? I mean, this team, you know, had it kind of going with Bo Nix for a little bit. They were able to get him into some comfortable spots, and now they go to TJ Finley, who's not known necessarily for, you know, moving the pocket that well with his feet and a little bit more of a established pocket passer. So, you know, it's in a weird feat or weird twist of fate, too. This is TJ Finley's second start for South Carolina. Now, it's his first start ever for the Auburn Tigers, but second start against South Carolina, because remember, he was the LSU quarterback last year and started and put up, what, 265 and a couple of touchdowns against the Gamecocks.
Totally.
Well, Peter, what are you speaking of inconsistency? Let's talk about the Gators. I mean, my goodness, you know, I don't even know where to begin in trying to diagnose, you know, the situation in Gainesville. But give us an idea, like, you know, how does this play out? Here they sit at 5-5, obviously, you know, just trying to figure out all that is going on and just the disruption on the staff. Obviously, we depleted the staff at this point. I mean, talk about the last two games. I mean, what's the outlook here short term, but also long term as we head into the recruiting season, which is Dan Mullen's favorite word, and also, you know, as we look at long term his tenure there at Florida.
Yeah, they need stability. You know how, like, when Slay is co-hosting the show, not as the host, but like the whole show is rocking. You don't know if it's stabilizing at any point. That's kind of how it is with like Florida football right now. It's chaos. And I mean, you look at the last couple of weeks. I mean, it was interesting. You know, Dan Mullen celebrated the victory over Samford, and people were giving him hell. And I didn't think that was a big deal, right? Like, hey, listen, he's just trying to win the locker room. He's trying to have a little fun. We're not doing brain surgery here, so relax. But even in, you know, this week leading up to this game, you know, he was talking about, did everybody see how good Emory Jones did? And why are we not talking about that? And I'm like, bro, it was still Samford. Like, let's relax a little bit and let's pump the brakes. This is a monster game, right? I mean, this is might be as important as any game on the schedule. In fact, I think it's the most interesting one on the schedule, because if all of a sudden, you know, hey, can you imagine a situation where Florida loses at Missouri, and then what happens if they lose at Florida State? I mean, we may be talking about the second new brand new head coach in the SEC next year, one way or another. So I thought it was kind of interesting that Dan Mullen said that Emory Jones is going to be his starter the rest of the year, and that he'll try to work Anthony Richardson in a little bit more. You know, traditionally, whenever you are in a situation where you're not worried about your job whatsoever, you might play a younger quarterback just to see if you could develop him at the end of the year because of the season's lost. But I think that goes to show you how Dan understands he has to go with more the known commodity to Emory Jones to make sure he wins these games.
Right. Now, Peter, I see you're going to take advantage of me being in this seat, and you're just going to keep poking the bell. Until
every damn minute. Every damn minute, Clay. I'm going to put you on. Great. I'm loving it. In fact, Grant texted me today, and he told me he was missing on purpose just to make you feel uncomfortable and keep you kind of back in there in the spot.
And it's working. If I had to go into my armpits and you know, just wipe away, it would be a glob of sweat because I want to get at you so bad. But I'm going to keep it right down the road, man. Now, let me ask you. Also, Arkansas at Alabama. I know it's – I mean, Arkansas, what you got in the tank left? You got anything for Tillman?
I'm glad you said that, Slay, because I think it's a what do you have in the tank left type game, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like if this was week three or four and he had Arkansas – catching them right after the Texas win, right. and when Catalan, their all-star safety, was still there, mm-hmm. I think this is a much closer game. But I mean, LSU just in Arkansas had an absolute rock fight last week, and they're already a little bit banged up. And you combine that fact with the fact that Alabama had New Mexico State last week, so where they could just basically have a scrimmage and play, you know, a quarter for their starters and work in a bunch of younger guys. So they're absolutely fresh. I mean, it's almost like coming off a bye week for them. So, again, it's always like where in the schedule does Bama fall? Mm-hmm. And right now this is not where you want to play Bama towards the end of the season, because I think they get it figured out. And any time that you have salty Nick Saban in the press conference during the week, you know things are getting – you know things are going to be a little bit interesting. And I think Alabama ends up actually rolling them in this game.
Peter, let's talk Ole Miss and my Vanderbilt Commodores, but I'm going to put Vanderbilt to the side for a second here. And I was in Oxford last week and spent time with the Ole Miss coaching staff and saw them play Texas A&M last week, which was an electric atmosphere. Ole Miss, this year to me, you know, they get a lot of attention for their pace of play and how fast they can get, you know, the snap off. But I think the secret sauce, and it was kind of publicized today, the way that they can rush the football so effectively. What talk about that, and talk about Lane Kiffin's approach and his offense and just how special all of that is.
Yeah, I mean, we talk about, like, when you look at some of the great, you know, running backs in the league, and you know, it's interesting. People will start running through Brian Robinson. They'll talk about all these different names, and all of a sudden you're like, well, wait a minute, like, yeah, I mean, I know Zamir White is good at Georgia, and you see all these other great running backs, Chris Rodriguez at Kentucky. Well, why aren't you giving any love to Jerrion Ealy, who's finally healthy and he's great? Snoop Connor has been fantastic. You know, Parrish has been great as well, too. And by the way, Matt Corral does it. And that's the secret sauce, right? Like, everybody sees a bunch of points, and they think that Ole Miss and, you know, Lane Kiffin are this throw-happy team. They're not. Right. Honestly, what it does is it gives the opportunity – that they can stretch the field so much that everybody has to sag back and play, And then, you know, Matt Corral has that option on whether or not to, you know, to turn it into a more of an RPO type offense. So he's been fantastic. And I'll even flip it on the other side. It's not even the passing game. It's not even the running game. This year, honestly, the biggest difference Ole Miss football, where they're playing so well, is this defense actually has a pulse.
Yes.
You know, like, they couldn't hold anybody to less than 25 points. I mean, they didn't do that once last year. They've already held five opponents less than 20 points. I mean, that's when you're talking assistant coaches that have done an unbelievable job, DJ Durkin and what he's done with this Ole Miss defense is incredible, and I don't think he's getting enough love right now.
Yeah, and I also want to add to that, Peter. They fell off in the middle of the year. It's kind of like they grabbed him by the shirt collar and was like, "Hey, man, come on, we got to play defense in order to win these games." So that was big time for Ole Miss to pick that back up, because I thought it was going to run
again,
away with it.
You don't have to be Georgia's defense, right? You don't have to be A&M's defense. What you need to be is just good enough to get a couple of stops, like turn a touchdown into a field goal, because your offense is so damn good, Slay.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's kind of the same thing that's happening with Tennessee right now.
Right?
Like, Tennessee's offense is so good, when that defense can just kind of hold and settle a little bit and bend and not break, you're going to be in every damn ball game you want.
You are. And before we get to Tennessee, let's touch this Georgia. I don't know what the line is for Georgia versus – let me see. Who is Georgia guy?
Charleston Southern.
What is it? 600? Is that the line? Like, what is it?
I think it's down to 497.
like, come on, man. What does Georgia do? Does Kirby use this game and just as an exhibition to get guys ready and get guys healthy to move on and get ready for SEC championship, or what?
Yeah, I mean, it's everybody plays a couple of series and keeps everybody healthy. And then, you know, honestly, this is a great opportunity. It comes at a great time for JT Daniels to knock off some of the rust, right? I mean, you know, JT hasn't played a lot. Stetson Bennett is pretty much, you know, anchored in as a starter now. This is an opportunity for JT to get in, run their offense, and try to stay as healthy as possible, because that's the only thing that derails Georgia from winning a title this year, is if you get a couple of offensive linemen that get injured, or you get, you know, Jordan Davis gets a little bit banged up in this game. So, I mean, this to me feels like if the Titans were playing, you know, their first preseason game or their last preseason game, where you're just like, hey, go out there, you know, get a couple of series, go through the motions, and then let everybody else play. Mm-hmm. That's the kind of feeling it is for a couple of the you know, big time teams in the SEC that are playing opponents like this.
Right now, let's go up 40 East. Take me up to Rocky Top. South Alabama, number 16 in total D, number 22 in run D, 31 in pass D, 51 in pass D. Like, I mean, like, they got it. It's nothing you should overlook. Like, and this is to be bowl eligible. Is it a letdown coming off of this Georgia game? Did Tennessee put too much into it? Well, you can't put too much into it. But did they run out of gas going into this?
Peter? I mean, again, I don't think it was we put too much into it. I think there's no harm in losing to the best team that we've seen,
right?
You know, I mean, over the last couple of years.
Plus scoring 17 points against them, Peter. Don't leave that part out.
Yeah. No, I get it. I think this is a dangerous game, because like you said and you pointed out, South Alabama's got some dudes. And so this is interesting to me, because this is one of those, hey, where Dan Mullen got in trouble with sometimes against inferior opponents, this team just didn't show up. Like, that's why I'm intrigued to see how Heupel has grown and how he's commanded this locker room. Is like, you should be better. Like, you are a better team than South Alabama, but are you going to show up like thinking that you're like it? And like Gene Chizik always tells me this in our studios, he's like, there are certain mindset games where you can tell the direction of a program. This is a mindset game for Tennessee. You come out there, you blow the doors off of them, which you should. Things are good in that locker room.
Right.
You don't, then there's deeper issues that they have to deal with. So I still like what Heupel's done. Maybe with that, arguably maybe the toughest schedule of the year out of all college football. I mean, he should get some low level love for some coach of the year votes, in my mind.
Well, you know, let me get out of this seat for a minute and just let you know, Peter, if it was up to me and I had a vote, I wonder who I would vote for.
Who would you vote for? Slade? Let me be the host for a second. Slade, give me your thoughts, buddy. Who do you got? SEC Coach of the Year.
I would vote for anybody that's running a high-tempo offense that has excitement that has a team competing and out there scoring the most points against the number one defense in the last 15 years.
That has a T on their helmet and wears orange.
I didn't even have to say that part. I'm just saying. Josh Heupel, that's what it would be for.
Good to have you back, Slay. Good to have Slay back. Now you know, hey, Slay, now you know why I'm so boring on my shows, you know, because I got to do all the doing the live reads and looking at what time we got to go to commercial break and asking the damn questions. Like, I mean, you know, now you will fully appreciate what we got to do on that host side.
It's much more fun sitting in Drew's seat. I'm telling you, like, you just get to let your hair down. But we got a guy, Eddie George, man, going down to play against Mississippi State. Now, Mississippi State needs this game. I'm not saying there's not a chance, but what do you do coming into this game for Mississippi State? What are you trying to get out of it? And a guy like Eddie George trying to set a standard, what does he get out of it?
Yeah, I mean, you know, for Eddie George, those who don't know, man, no, former Ohio State running back who's the head coach over there at Tennessee State, you know, it's an opportunity. It's a payday game for them, not only for their football team, but for all the athletic department. Now, I'll tell you this, it's a big game for Mike Leach, because Leach is trying to showcase his program right now to recruits, right? I mean, look at the numbers that Will Rogers have put up. I mean, I know it's a system quarterback, but he's crushing that system right now, and that's what he's trying to recruit. I mean, I think they got six guys right now, Slay, that have over 40 catches. Like, guys that want to be involved in an offense, they're going to want to come to Starkville. So, to me, this is a game low-key that if Will Rogers puts up stupid numbers, which he should this week, and then what if he beats this solid Ole Miss team that will be top 10, and he puts up crazy numbers in the Egg Bowl, you could be talking about a guy that could be a late invite to the Heisman Trophy presentation. Now, he won't win it, but that would be monstrous for Leach to have one of his quarterbacks getting that kind of love.
As an AD, do you go to Coach O with this game against Louisiana Monroe and ask him, hey, man, like, give us some style points for recruiting? If nothing else, leave this on a good term, please.
Well, the crazy part, you know, I mean, because they're going to be going back to Max Johnson as their quarterback, because Garrett Nussmeier, who played last week, he decided to take a red shirt. They lost Cam Wire, their offensive lineman, which is like 17 different players that they've lost as starters. Like, this is a sneaky, dangerous game for LSU, because just for no other reason, like, O has so much pride in that university. He doesn't want to go out, you know, in a bad way. So, I mean, I think LSU could. I think it'll be a little bit closer than people have comfort for, but LSU will win that game.
Let me ask you this, Peter. Serious question. Peter Burns of the SEC Network joining us right now.
Oh, Slade did the reset.
You like that? You like that? Hey, man, I'm getting my feet wet in here, Peter. Let me ask you this, though. You work with a lot of people, and I'm considering you, since you're on here with us, you're working with us. Name a better two-man game on the wing than Big Slay and Drew Maddox. You go down, Damon. You tell Damon Fishback, Tony Delp, all them dudes, man. Dame Bradshaw, even my guy Dame Bradshaw, bring it.
No
we
chance.
We want it all. They ain't got no chance.
No chance.
You name a better duo you want.
Hey, I will say this, though. I'm pumped because we're starting to make that transition from football season to hoop season. Yes. And the fact that I can look at my friends over the ACC network and say the SEC has a better hoops conference than the ACC. Oh, no. Baby, it's so sweet to be able to tell them that right now. It's the damn truth.
I love it, man. I love it. Peter Burns, man, my man, brought to us by Blue Delta Blue Jeans.
That's Slay, crush it, buddy. See you, boys.
All right, Peter, appreciate it.
Hi,
man.
Peter.
Hey, man, he's right. I mean, it's a lot going on in the SEC, but hoops is right around the corner, bro.
We're starting to feel it.
Oh, man.
I mean, it is here.
Mm-hmm. And we're going to dive into it a little bit when we get back. You know, Vandy's already tipped off. UT's tipped off.
They have. Yep. They have.
They know they have.
They did? I mean, are you sure?
He's saying it.
I'm waiting.
If Drew's making the joke, we can all make the joke.
This is what I love. Listen, y'all, I'm cool today. Hey, it's only truth serum going around in here, man. Hey, we'll be right back. 3HL, stay right there. Welcome back in, man. 3HL is off and running. Wrapping it up in this 3 o'clock hour. First and foremost, man, let me let you guys know. Drew Maddox is in the building, people. Yes, indeed. 615-737-1045. Man, you got anything you want to ask? Because It's easy to call, man. That's the Mark Spain Real Estate Hotline. You hit them up on there. Make sure you know it's Trash Talk Friday, so we want to hear from you. Don't get quiet on us this week. Don't get quiet, because there's a lot of questions. There's a lot of things swirling about Tennessee Vols. It's about the Vanderbilt Commodores and basketball, Tennessee and football, basketball, Titans. You know what's going on? Call. We want to hear from you. So reach out, and don't forget to call your shot presented to you by Daddy Rack. We want to hear from you. What's your shot? Me and Drew will call our shot at the end of the show today and let you know what we're expecting over this weekend, who will do what and how and all the things under the sun.
Your shot may have been a little bit different before Vrabel's press conference than is after Vrabel's press conference.
Very true. Yeah. That call, I wish I could have waited. It was silly of me, but.
Dude, we try to tell you every week.
Y'all did. I know.
We tell you every week.
The line looks so good, man. I'm just like, I got to go get it. You know, I'm trying to make up for last week, see? And then I got to take what's presented to me.
Think about it. They've already played 82 players.
Yeah.
They may hop over the 90 mark this week.
This one, yep, you're right.
They seriously may not hop over the 90 mark.
But they got a cushion where they can't do that. They can't do that. So, Drew, I want to ask you about basketball, the state of basketball. And we're going to dive into it more in the 5 o'clock hour. Especially 520. But right now, where Vanderbilt is as an athletic program overall, you know, it's a lot of stuff as far as being added to it, you know, collecting and about to start building and renovating and doing all of this. Where are you right now mentally on this program?
Yeah.
Outside of Tim Corbin, because we know exactly what he's going to bring.
Right. You know, I think it's a bad time to ask that question. after watching a game where a college basketball team, especially a place that I've played, an iconic venue, put on the black and gold for 4 years. My dad did. My grandfather did. I've watched 50 years of basketball. Slay, we couldn't break 40.
That's tough.
Couldn't break 40.
That's tough, Drew.
Now, I mean, seriously, 37 points in a modern day.
Yes.
Basketball Division I game. Like, I'm just going to be truthful. Like, I love, make no mistake about it, I love Vanderbilt. So people out
now,
in Nashville.
I know this.
I mean, cut me black and gold, right? I mean, not even a question. Right. But if we're not calling out, then we're not being truthful.
Right, exactly.
37 points, 8% from the three-point line, 22% from field goal.
Yep.
SEC preseason player of the year scores 8 points in a game. Like, Slay, I don't care what you're doing defensively.
Yes.
I mean, you've been in the conference. I've been in the conference. We've studied the conference.
Yep.
Like, you know, so it's a bad week.
Yes.
It's a bad time to be asking that question because if you're asking me if I'm believing what's going on, the plans were unveiled this week, you know, the $300 million renovations, the expansion efforts, football, basketball, which are well needed. I mean, make no mistake about it.
Right.
But that being said, what I'm seeing, I'm praying Clark Lee and those guys. Yeah. I think they can do it. I really do. I do. The basketball program at this point, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm questioning the direction.
Right.
I'm questioning where we're headed.
Mm-hmm.
And it pains me to say that.
Oh, without question.
Painful.
Without question.
But I'm looking around the conference right now. SEC basketball is really good. Really good.
Yes.
I mean, just start paying attention to what's going on around you. And you're in a conference that is getting two new teams coming. I mean, you got to start asking some hard questions, and you may get to some hard answers that you don't want to necessarily hear.
That's true, man. And I'm telling you, people, let me say this also. If you haven't been on the Boom Boom Room, y'all go look, man. Drew has been in the Boom Boom Room. So if you're wondering, man, is Slay going to put him in the Boom Boom Room in here? Nope, I ain't got to because he's already been in there. Y'all go to YouTube, type it in. Y'all watch the interview. Great interview. But I say that to say you're talking to a guy that bleeds Nashville and bleeds Vanderbilt.
No
doubt. And I will say, man, like I always give Vandy a hard time, but it's because I know what it is. Like I remember walking around. I grew up here. I remember walking around in the 90s like that's where it is. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? It was a buzz, and that buzz is still here, but you got to put a product out there to perform.
That's right.
That makes that, they're going to come. They are going to come. And that was – I'm going to tell you this, man. Watching that game, it hurt me to see that – it wasn't a packed house.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care when it is. Memorial Gymnasium. That's still the name, right?
Yeah.
Memorial
You're
Gymnasium.
Good.
All right, I'm cool.
Yeah.
Memorial Gymnasium, man, I'm telling you, you dread going in there to play as an opponent.
Didn't lose.
No, you're not.
Didn't lose. Or if we lost, it was going to be a dogfight. You knew.
There you go.
It was going to be a long night in that building.
Man, and that's coming from a guy, man, that's played in there versus a guy that was an opponent walking in there. So you know what it is, man. Even in summer, in the summertime, playing pickup up there, it's still that same mystique. And they're like, man, something about to happen in here. You know what I'm saying? And they can get that back, man. It's just, it's got to be something done, man. I don't know what it is. And like you said, to the point of the SEC being the upper echelon right now, the creme de la creme, not only in players, but, man, you talking about the coaches.
Stars.
Man, come on. I mean, everywhere. You know, even teams like South Carolina, they got Frank Martin. And then you don't know what you're going to get from them until conference rolls around. But you got them. You got Frank Martin. Like, he took his team to the Final Four.
Nobody picked that.
You know what I'm saying? Cal, you know, you got Barnes. I mean, Buzz Williams and Ben Howland don't even get talked about.
You know, Konzo Martin, Nate Oates, like, and what he's done to college basketball.
Musselman in Arkansas. Yeah, I mean, we can go all day with this.
Yes, that's right.
So, man, it's got to be a level, and it's a level expected. Like, you played there. It's an expected level that you want to see, especially in basketball.
No doubt. And I think that's what hurts me the most, and you just said it, but when I turned on the TV, and I couldn't go that particular night. I was going to go. I had a dinner. I got home. I couldn't wait to get to the second half. And I see less than 2,000-3,000 people in that building. So you've seen a fan base really grow to a level of apathy.
Right.
And that's a dangerous spot when they're not passionately angry about what's going on. They're obviously not passionately excited, but they're just apathetic. Man, that is a dangerous spot to be sitting as a brand, as an entity, as an organization. And so I'm quite frankly like really, really worried about the uncertainty around it at this point, because Vanderbilt basketball in this city has been special. Everywhere I go around town, not that I'm anybody, but just people affiliate me with Vanderbilt, they'll ask me, will it ever return to what you described, even from the 90s, early 2000s, much less when we were you know, kids growing up.
Exactly, man. Let's go to the phone lines real quick. We got Volboy on the line. Let's see exactly what Volboy wants to say. Volboy, you're on the line. What's happening?
Hey, Ron, thank you for the energy you bring to the air. It's just wonderful, and I love hearing it.
I appreciate it.
I've gotten some clarity while I've been waiting. I'd like for you to talk about the top five Tennessee basketball newcomers, which ones you think are going to be able to contribute this year, and kind of break that down for me.
All right, I got you. I appreciate that. Appreciate that, Vol Boy. So not only do you have me but you got a guy with a lot of SEC knowledge also. So we want to get Drew's take on that as well, man. I think looking at Tennessee top five guys, man, me and Drew talked about it a little bit.
Number one is easy.
It's very easy. Kennedy Chandler, man, from right here in Tennessee. And I think the key thing about that is being able to go get the kids from Tennessee and keep them in Tennessee.
That's right.
And if you were able to pluck from Memphis with exactly what Penny has going on in Memphis, that says something. You know what I'm saying? So automatically, Kennedy Chandler, and we're going to dive into this later in the 5 o'clock hour, but that's up front, Volboy. So you stay on the line. I mean, don't stay on the line. You can get off the line, but stay listening
in.
We're coming back to it, and we're gonna dive into all this, because I want to get Drew's take on this, exactly who are some of the guys you want to look at in the SEC. You know, we already just talked about Scottie Pippen Jr. being preseason SEC player of the year. They had a couple of guys transfer, but you look up there on Rocky Top, man, you got guys coming in. Barnes has a good foundation laid up there. So we're going to see exactly where everything is. And there's some other point guards. Like you talked about Nate Oates. J.P. Davidson down there is going to be serious at the point guard spot.
And the best player in the league to me right now, the big O, Oscar Tshiebwe up in Lexington. Big time.
Yes, big time. So it's a lot of people to lean on, a lot of people to talk about. We're going to dive into it once we come back. But at the 4 o'clock hour, we're going to reset, and we're going to talk a little bit of Titans, too. We want to hear from you, 615-737-1045. This right here, this is 3HL.